Kneel and give thanks, aspirant. I am Lucan D'Lyr, protector of the realm and the last hope of Norroth. You are lordless and alone, and without my aid and patronage, you will be swept away and destroyed by the dark tides of these harsh times.
Once more the games into the dice plane.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
Once we engage into the dice plane.
I can't play these video games.
Games of War Entertainment Radio.
Alright, this is episode 77 of Games of War Entertainment Radio. I'm C4, and I got two guests on the phone today, so who do we got?
We got Eric and Mobile Digit.
Alright, so we're here to talk a little bit about EverQuest today, because we needed to geek out a little bit on this and just let it flow a little bit. And this isn't going to air on DDP Hack Radio or on Rant Radio unless there's a day that we miss a show maybe and have to fill some space or something. Because I know a lot of people don't like hearing about MMORPGs very much. Was there ever a point when you guys did not want to play MMORPGs at all?
There was a point whenever I didn't know what they were, which was before I started playing RuneScape. And once I started playing it, I was just like, this is the best game ever. All these people playing and I can interact, it was great.
Yeah, same for me.
What ended up happening to me was my interest in Dungeons & Dragons really got me into this kind of stuff, and I tried to play EverQuest way back in the day when that was, you know, kind of new, and boy, did it suck. And now, you know, we're all the way up to EverQuest 2 now, and, you know, the genre still has its problems, but I think they've come quite a long way between, you know, we're looking at this new generation of MMORPGs. We've got EverQuest 2, we've got World of Warcraft, you know, we've got some other ones coming up pretty soon, like, what's that one that Mocker wants to play real bad? Guild Wars.
Guild Wars and Enter the Matrix, all that.
Oh, yeah. That Matrix one should be fantastic. That was sarcasm.
Okay. Hoping so.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit. Let's get started here talking about EverQuest, just itself, I guess. I guess the best way to start would be for everybody to know what kind of character everybody plays.
You want me to go ahead and...
Yeah, it's kind of difficult with you both on the phone, because it's just, you know, you're both going to... There's going to come a point where you're talking over each other, but that's all right. We'll figure it out.
All right, I've always been a magic person, so I started a mage, and, it was pretty interesting starting out. A lot of weird little quests when you start out the game on Isle of Refuge.
Yeah, you start out on this island, you know, with, you know, you're in the rest of the noobs and you guys are all commoners, and...
Start out on a boat, and then on the boat, they give you general controls and interface things that tell you how the game works, and then you have a little quest to kill something, so you know how combat works, and then you go to the island.
Oh, that's right. I skipped it after that first time, and I've made a couple characters after that, so I kind of forgot about that. It's kind of neat because it talks to you, too. It doesn't just pop up like a little screen, you know, that you have to sit and read. It was kind of neat that, you know, it would pop up a little screen that you can read of exactly how combat works, you know, or whatever it was that they're trying to teach you, and then also it would speak to you, and the voice acting turned out to be a lot better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, almost everything in the game has a voiceover. I checked through, there's like a gig of voiceovers.
Jesus. That's cool, though, because I didn't think I would like that at first. And I'll tell you what, it really, really immerses me in the game when I'm walking through town and some guy just, like, you know, is carrying on about something, and then I'll walk past him and I'll hear people arguing, and, you know, you run across all these different situations that, you know, really happen in real life, and it's in this game, and it just really adds to the effect of you being a real person in this game. Let's see. You're a wizard, right?
I'm 50% of a level away from being a wizard.
Nice, nice. I was actually going to make an alt to make a wizard.
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
All right, I've got an assassin. I played a Dark Elf Assassin, because I really like, the thiefy type classes. I always try to play the stealth-based stuff. I really like the way that, you know, they played in Final Fantasy XI. They actually gave them more of a purpose than something stupid than most games. So that was really cool to play that in there. And I came to this game, and there didn't seem to be, a thief, just plain thief class. It doesn't seem like you can, there's no stealing and whatnot. So I ended up going Assassin. I still went the scout route, so I had my, stealth skills and all that. And figured, well, I may as well be here for damage, because I didn't want to be a bard and sing songs and all that. That's just, it didn't seem fun to me. So I decided to play an assassin. I've actually got myself up to 40 assassin and 39 alchemist.
Nice.
Yeah, my hand is killing me. I was actually crafting when we decided to do this really quick.
You want to give a quick rundown of trade skills, since you're the highest of us?
Yeah, we can talk about that in a minute. And we got to cover everybody's classes, so...
Okay, well, I'm a 20 warlock, still, and it's pretty much the same as wizard, except it's more damage, over time.
Yeah, you have some really nice dots.
Yeah.
So, the one thing, I've got, there's a warlock that I run around with all the time. She's, 41 now, and I got, have you guys run that damage calculator yet? The log parser?
I downloaded it and tried to get it to work. It wouldn't. I logged everything myself and checked through it later.
Oh, okay.
In real time.
The one that I use is called Combat Stats. I think the website is combatstats.com. It was a little pain in the ass to set up, but once I got it working, it works perfectly fine now. And, boy, I tell you what, they have some serious balancing issues going on, because the warlock in our group does next to no damage. Let's say your average fight, I'll do maybe 3,000-4,000. She'll do, 1,300-1,400, and then this is where the real bullshit kicks in. If we have, a Shadow Knight or a Paladin in the group, he'll do, 4,000, 5,000 points of damage.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. If you fight something that takes a long time to fight, we get creamed by the tanks. We came across a named out in Rivervale, and me and some random group, we had a Shadow Knight in the group, two assassins, and some kind of a wizard, and, whatever for healing. And we were fighting some kind of named guy out there who has a bunch more hit points, so the fight took quite a while. The Shadow Knight did 11,000 points of damage. Each assassin was only responsible for, 7,000 points of damage. And then the wizard brought up the end with the damage at, 4,500 points of damage. It sucks.
Yeah, if there was some way to keep power on those guys, because I'm in fights, and if I don't, bore myself trying not to nuke, then I'll run out of power, 4 or 5 fights later. And if I was fighting something really hard, I run out halfway.
Have you upgraded all your skills?
Crushing and defense and all that?
Well, no, I mean the apprentice skills. The way that the skills work in this game, for anybody who doesn't know, is when you first get a skill, it starts out and it's apprentice 1, which means you're
that.
Right, yeah. You got a new skill, so here you are, it does, let's say 50 points of damage at apprentice 1, and it uses, say, 60 power. If you go out and buy, apprentice 2... which you can buy the level 2 stuff from NPC, it costs less power to cast, I think, and does a little bit more damage. The only problem is you go up in power cost when you go to the next level. So when you go to Apprentice, Adept, and Master, it goes up in power, but it seems like each upgrade within that class, the power requirement goes down.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it might just be my skills. It might just be a lot of the skills that I have are doing that. They're going down because I can unload on guys, and it seems like I don't use that much power.
Well, what I usually use is I use Blaze, and I've got that up to Apprentice 4. And if I need to do two spells at once, I use whatever that ice spell is. You get around 15 or so, Ice Strike or something like that.
Yeah.
It's still Apprentice 2. I haven't found anything higher.
Yeah, I've got most of the App 3 and the Adept 1 for most of them.
Nice. That's hard to find those adept ones for some of that stuff, because I've been looking for... I started a mage, I was just fooling around the other day, and she's up to level 8 or 9 right now, I think, and I couldn't find adept ones for anything, and it does quite a bit more damage, but I don't know if you guys have heard this or not. I was running around some forums, checking out... I read Trade Skill forums. I don't read forums on quests or anything else. I read the Trade Skill forums, and then there's one thread that I read about poisons that keeps, lets us know what poisons do and don't work currently, because a lot of them are broken still. But it seems to me that, and then people were talking about this, some of the skills don't get upgraded that are, they're broken now. So I don't think they're quite affecting you guys, because I guess Sony had no idea what the upper end game was going to be, so at level 37, you start getting your, you know, your final skills, the skills that you're going to get that don't get replaced. You know how you get, like, a replacement skill? Like, you have your lightning bolt now, and then, like, in 10 more levels, you'll get, like, an upgraded version of lightning bolt, and it uses the same timer, so you can only use one of the two.
Yeah.
Well, where I'm at now, at 40, everything past 37 that I'm getting to replace something before does less damage. Because apparently, they changed the names of the skills, you know, slapped a new icon on some of them, but copied and pasted the stats of the skill into the 37-plus version of the skill, like the final skill.
But they figured they'd have enough time to go back and fix it later. So
exactly. Exactly. And they haven't gone and fixed it yet. So basically, every level I've got, I'm doing less damage now until they fix this, because they didn't know how much damage it should do. So it's the exact same skill I just had upgraded to Adept 1 or Adept 3. I have a few of those. And then all of a sudden, I'm using the Apprentice 1 version again. It may be a different name, but it's the exact same stats.
What are the chances that they did go through and fix the Shadow Knight and Paladin, because those seem to be kicking ass all the way up there?
They do. They very well might have started on it and only gotten as far as doing, like, the warrior classes or something, but it's really a pain in the ass when, you know, you're in a group and they're like, yeah, we need to get some DPS. Somebody look for a Shadow Knight or a Paladin or a Guardian.
Oh, my God.
You know, yeah, it really blows, because, you know, they can tank, too, and here I am. I'm a strictly a DPS class. That's what I'm there for, and they're not looking for me for damage. You know, they want to find a tank to do damage, which doesn't make any sense. So there's definitely some balance issues in this still.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the high-level mages, but I've been reading around the magic threads, and all they seem to be talking about is, at the higher levels, there's no way to fight.
Yeah.
And it's not even worth it to be a mage, because you can't nuke anymore, you're running out of power, or you're just not hitting hard enough. You can't debuff, because you don't have any good debuff. You can't heal, you can't tank, you can't do anything, really.
That's what I've been hearing about the mages, too. They were complaining because their best skill in their, like low 30s, high to mid 20s, does, like, maybe 600-700 points of damage, which is great for right then. Well, then they hit 37, and they get the replacement for that, and the damage goes down until they get their Adept 1 for it, and then you get, you know, they get their Adept 1, and it goes right back up to where it was at, like, 600-700 points of damage, but now you're fighting mobs that are, you know, level 45. So 600-700 points of damage isn't cutting it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's all because, you know, they haven't gone through and fixed out the damage yet for this stuff, which really pisses me off, and I'm sure a lot of people that are, you know, in that level range are really not happy right now. So that kind of blows. But the trade skill stuff, that's a blast. I thought I would hate it, and I thought it was going to be so stupid. And they have a really weird system. It's a lot like when you're getting your levels for your adventure. You know how you start out and you have to pick a way to go, like, you know, priest, fighter, scout, or mage. In this, you start out as an artisan, and you can make whatever you want from any of the schools, I guess, of artisan, right?
Yeah, you might want to go ahead and say that however much content there is for the fighting end of the game, there's almost as much for the trade skills. There's like 16 classes or something you can choose. There's 50 levels. So much stuff for just that.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And originally, the reason I think this happened was because that was going to be a whole class. And they ended up changing it to where it wasn't its own class as, you know, to where it is now, where it's like, you know, you can be an artisan on top of an adventure, you know, so that's why there's so much content for the crafters in this, and it's awesome, because I have so much fun crafting. And you wouldn't think that it could be entertaining, but, you know, you add in the interaction with the other players there, and then, you know, it's actually a pretty good time. Because you sit there, and you make whatever the hell you want up until, like, level 9, and you don't know quite what you're going to be yet, and then you go talk to some guy, and, you know, he's like, commissioning people for work for the town or whatever. So then you tell him that, I want to be a scholar, or I want to be a outfitter, or I want to be a craftsman, right? And then from there, after you get 10 more levels of that, you're like 29 and whatever third thing you wanted, then you get to pick from 3 more, you know? And I went alchemy, so I picked scribe and then alchemist, and it's crazy because the way they designed the system, every single person, except for a provisioner, the guys who make food, need an alchemist. So it's cool for me because every, you know, like, I can just make crap out of thin air, basically. You go out and you gather stuff, you know, you pick up roots and tree bark and all kinds of random crap, you know, and, I mean, whatever, you can gather so much crap in this game. And I can turn it into chemicals that every other class uses. So I put those out on the market, and, you know, every guy that's making, like, a bed is going to have to use some part of something that I made for him. Every guy that's trying to make a bag has to buy something that I made to make his bag. Everybody has to buy something from an alchemist. It's kind of cool.
You're, like, raping these people for money.
I'm actually not doing it, but a lot of the alchemists are cleaning up. If you look at some of the dudes that are running around town, they're riding, like, the 9 platinum horses and crap already. And, you know, they're an alchemist. If you look at them, chances are they're an alchemist. It's crazy. I don't sell anything to players. I vendor it. Only because there's still money to be made vendoring the stuff. And my original intention was to make poisons and potions in this, which is what I thought would be really cool. And I discovered that not only are half the poisons broke, but everything resists poisons like you wouldn't believe. At the level I'm at now, using the poison that I'm supposed to be using now, I hit the poison of proc. So it uses a charge. It's got 100 charges, you know, and per use, and it resists every single time. So it's really not even worth it. Some of the poisons that you can make currently, you can't even, like, I don't know what they screwed up. They just didn't put the code there that you can't equip it. You can equip it, but you can't use it, some of them. So it really kind of sucks to make poisons right now, and they're useless. They cost so much money to make. And if you look right now, the tier 5 poisons are like 2 gold, 50 copper, the guys that are making them, and we require a jeweler to make the poison vial or the glass bottle to make our poison, or potion even. And they're like 2.5 gold on the market, the only guy that's making them. And you can go out and buy an NPC-made poison that does like maybe 5% less damage than that guy's, and it's like 7 or 8 silver.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's retarded, but it doesn't work anyway. I mean, so it's really almost not even worth doing, but on your way to about level 36, it is so awesome for assassins to use poison. You hit about 36, and all of a sudden it's not worth it to use poison anymore, from what I've seen. We even have a couple, like, you know, moves that will reduce their poison resistance, and it doesn't help. It really kind of sucks.
Yeah, they need to get some of these big bugs out of the way.
I wish they'd fix the memory leak.
Yeah, memory leak. I was playing with 512, and zoning would take like 30 seconds. I could hit maybe 4 or 5 zones, different zones, or maybe 8 or 9 of the same zone over and over, and I'd be so laggy, it'd take me 2 minutes to shut down.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens to me.
Today, I got a 512 stick in the mail from Best Buy. Stuck that in, first zone, took 10 seconds. 10 zones later, it's still taking 10 seconds.
Really?
Yeah, it was going good earlier. I didn't have to restart at all while I was playing today, except for when I broke the sound.
See,
like, messing around the options and the sound died, so I had to restart.
Oh yeah, that happens to me once in a while too, but I blame Creative Labs' crappy drivers for that. But I have a gig of DDR2 on this machine, and it runs good for maybe 8 or 9, 10 zones, and then I start getting that massive lag.
Well, it's weird. Sometimes, like, all of a sudden I'd start up and play, and I'd be able to zone, and it would load it up, no problem. Zone after zone after zone. Even North Freeport. Now that zone kills me. Every time I zone in there, it just kills my RAM. And it would work just fine. And then other times I'd start up and 2 zones into it, and I'm just going so slow. I don't know what it is. It's just different times it'll work, and sometimes it won't. There's some weird problems.
Yeah, there is. It really is a pain in the ass. And there's a couple of zones in particular that no matter if you just rebooted and then... Hell, even if you go into the zone and then reboot and then only load that one zone, it will still bring your machine to its knees. Out in Enchanted Lands, there's a zone called Rivervale, and every single person I know complains about the lag in that zone. And I don't know if it's solely based on some kind of bad programming or if it's just that burly of a zone, because there's tons of creatures, quite a bit of players out there, some really big creatures, like high polygon count creatures, and lots of really good-looking river water. Not ocean water, where it's kind of a not-so-well-detailed... It still looks good, but not as good as the river water, where it's, like, crystal clear.
The water has detail. The ocean's just, like, a texture that vibrates.
Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, you can adjust that, too, to make it look pretty nice. But it doesn't ever look as good as the real water does. Or like a river water, where they use all that the pixel shading, and it looks freaking amazing. But the whole zone has these rivers running through it, and it's just like, oh my god, your poor machine can't handle it, you know? And I've got a pretty decent machine here, and that's my 6800 just tells me to go fuck myself sometimes.
Yeah, that sucks that they either, I don't know if they built this game for NVIDIA, or if NVIDIA just paid them some money to say they did, but NVIDIA's best card runs worse than a card below it. So many problems I hear about 6800.
And it's all true, because when I went from my 5900, where it ran just fine, to the 6800, where it runs worse, it looks better, and it has a little bit more muscle behind it, so that I can, it runs a little bit faster, and it looks better, but it's, like, I had weird problems. It would just randomly blue screen it was the NVIDIA driver is what was causing the problem. I've been able to eliminate that. But it still, it does not run like it should, though. And is the 6600 the one that it runs really good on?
I don't know, but I would guess so.
It runs pretty good on an ATI, what's that thing? The X700. A buddy of mine plays that, and he said it runs really, really good on that, on balanced detail. That's what I run this on, too.
Yeah, I run mine on high performance, tweaked up a little bit. I run on balance, and my card just, like, no, we're not doing this.
Try it on balance, and then turn off the shadows.
Yeah, shadows don't work for me anymore. I don't know why. They work just fine. When I first started playing in Isles of Refuge, I turn on shadows, it looks so nice, so realistic. And now I turn on shadows, nothing happens.
Really?
They're, like, broken for me.
Huh.
I wish they'd work. I was turning on the environment shadows, the one where it puts, like, shadows on trees and rocks and stuff. That one makes it look really good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty sweet.
The game looks phenomenal if you can turn the graphics up, and I can figure in about a year that this game is going to still blow people's minds as far as the graphic quality of it.
Yeah, I played on just the base high detail for a while, and then I went there, and since I have a 256 meg 5500, I turned up the texture quality, and it's like a whole new game. It looks so much better when I'm high.
That's exactly what happened to me. When I went from, I had 128 meg 5900, I got this 256 meg 6800, and it looked like a different game. I went back to zones that I had been in, because I was like 30, maybe 32 when I got that card. So I played all the way up to 32 using the 5900. I got the new card, put this new machine together, and went back through the zones, you know, that I've been playing in for all this time, just going, oh my god, this is, it was a totally different experience. The mobs looked completely different, you know, just, oh, it blew my mind. It's really phenomenal what they've done with this. It's just that we need some hardware now to catch up with it and then hammer out a few bugs, and we're going to have a pretty cool game.
Yeah, I really dig that it'll still look good years from now. I think that's a really good plan.
A lot of the fun in these kind of games isn't so much running around by yourself. And I actually know a lot of people that like to play these games. I know a guy that plays three characters at the same time. He's got two computers, and one of his computers runs two accounts at the same frickin' time. And he runs around by himself all day long. And most people, I don't think, triple box like that. Well, dual box and triple account. And I know a lot of, like, Hunter, you know, he plays. I don't know if you guys have ever talked to him in-game.
I probably have.
Maybe, he
performs, and I have his name, and if I talk to him.
He plays as Paige, P-A-Y-G-E, out on the Unrest server, and he likes to run around by himself an awful lot. It's crazy, and I it's weird because I think to myself, this is supposed to be a social game. So most of the fun I have comes from playing with, you know, a group of other people that are pretty cool, you know, usually the guild you're with or just some people that you know, and that's where all the really cool stories come from. That's what really ends up making these games great, is having the ability to tell a story after you've played for the night, and then, like, in your mind, it's real. It happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure you guys have got some awesome stories.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, you know, we got any particular ones we want to share?
I guess I'll go first, if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. I've actually got to step away for just, like, 2 minutes, so I'll be right back, but if you guys can sit here and talk, I can actually hear you from where I'm going to be.
All right. Well, this isn't anything too special. It's a zone, Wailing Caverns, you can get into and survive around level 14 or so. And I went down there one night. This was whenever I knew, like, two people, and those were, like, C4 and Kobar. And I met some really cool people down there. This cleric that, I swear this is the best cleric on the server right now. This guy's awesome. Baller. He's great. And this really cool tank, the name of Hitman. This guy, we go down there, and I don't even know this zone, so I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna die. Running around down into I don't remember what they're called. Do you know they're like something Re? Do you remember their name?
I think it's like Re Shin or something.
Yeah, they're these crazy orcs that are down there, and they like have this whole zone that they've occupied. And you're just going down there and laying these guys out. They have guards set up everywhere. So we're running down there, slaying all these guards, going through. And there are these doors. You have to get the key before you get to it to open the door to advance. And there's like four different keys you need to get through all the stuff. So we're running through, asking, you guys have the key? No. Okay, well, we got to go kill this mom. So we go down, and there's like usually four or five guys in the room where the key is that you got to kill. So I'm like, oh man, I haven't ever really grouped, and I gotta like really be on my game to make sure that I don't like screw up and kill everyone, which has happened a couple times. So we get all these keys gathered up, and we're running through, and I swear I got like three levels down there with these guys, just running around, killing everything. This was last Friday night. Yeah, I didn't go to sleep that night, because I was up with them for like 16 hours, nonstop in the zone, just running around, killing everything. So, the only one we ever really had a problem with is that, the Ixar down there. He, I don't know if it's him or the little guy, the guardians he has with him, but oh man, those guardians, they're like nothing. I can take both of them out by myself at level 15 or so. And then the Ixar, he's so hard. He was like blue, two dots up. And we had one cleric, which is a problem. Since it had this area effect, it's some crazy poison. We'd go in there and start get the guardians down and then fight the Ixar. And there's just so much poison we couldn't take it. So we ended up wiping once, and then the cleric ended up being able, I don't know how, this guy's amazing. He ran out through all these mobs that were way past his level. They're all aggroing him. And somehow survives and revives all of us. So we run back out a little bit and rest up and come back in. We try it again. We end up we changed the plan a little bit. I don't remember what we did different, but we ended up killing that guy. We're all like barely alive. All the mages have no power. And all of a sudden the group in the room that you start out in popped and takes out both of the tanks. So now it's both of the nukers with like no power and the cleric. Somehow we ended up being able to take these guys out, grab it, all the stuff, and get out. It was crazy.
Nice.
So yeah, that's one story. If you want to talk about something.
Oh, I can't really think of any. I haven't played in a few weeks because I haven't really gotten anywhere.
Oh.
You guys ever spend much time in Thundering Steps or in Neck Forest?
Too low level for it.
Yeah, I was in Neck Forest for a little while. That's an amazing looking place.
It's pretty cool.
I got this high level group and we ran through Neck Forest over into Thundering Steps and run around there a little while. That's still too high level for me, really.
Listening to your story reminds me, every single story that I have, all the good stories, it seems like I die.
Yeah, most of them are somewhere where you die, or someone you know dies.
It's always messed up. Like, there is this guy, I think I told this story before, with Doom Squall. Have you seen this guy? He's like a 30-something triple-up arrow out in Thundering Steps out there.
Nope, I haven't seen him.
Oh my god, he's this giant blob, and he's like this, it's this crazy, you fight these like elemental blob things, and they just kind of float around, and they'll zap you with some nasty magic, and being a scout, I don't get hit by magic very well, I get owned, you know, like two hits and I go down, and they actually patched it so that he wouldn't follow you to the zone anymore, but it was great, because one day somebody trained this fool to the zone, so everybody that would zone into Thundering Steps from Neck Forest, this guy would just aggro him, and Oh my god. Yeah, it was nuts. Because at the time, you know, we're like level 25 or something, and we zone in, and you're just staring right at this badass dude, and he hits our cleric, knocks her armor off completely, and kills her, and knocks her off into the water because her armor durability was down to like 10, so she got hit, armor falls off, laying dead in the water. I get knocked off the dock, get hit once, I think I'm gonna make it, zaps me with some kind of magic, kills my ass again. You know, and it's like, god damn it, you know, we had a simple plan. Go out, get some experience for the night. You know, we're gonna go out, we're gonna camp some giants for a couple of hours or whatever, you know, and we're just gonna mess around and have a good time. Instead, we spent an hour trying to get our bodies back from this creature. It was so much fun, though.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was sitting there today, whenever I got home from school, and I took your idea to go fight those Volurges.
Oh, yeah.
After I finally, thank god my guild was there for me. I was down in Fallen Gate last night with some people that were way above my level. and I'm the lowest level guy there, and they're all like level 24 mobs or something. If I get hit once, I'm down, because I have 600 hits, and they hit for like 400 easy, sometimes higher. Yeah, I don't know why, but I have low health anyway. So I end up dying, because this thing popped right as we killed one before, and I'm like half power as it is. So cleric dies, or no, both tanks die, cleric dies, I'm next, and one hit and I'm down. So I'm like, okay, you guys gonna revive? Hello, you guys there? Next thing I know, the group has disbanded. I'm like, oh my god, come on. I'm 10 levels below everything in here. How am I supposed to get my body back? So I ended up just saying, okay, screw it. I'll revive, come back to the zone, and go to bed. I come home today, my guild, thank god, the guild leader, he came down there with me. He's level 29. Everything was great to me. I just ran down there, grabbed my body, and got out. So we're up these vault ridges, and I was up there killing the green ones by myself and struggling to kill the blue ones because they take me down to, like, yellow hits. And I get this guy, he's over at the ruins of Elmar. He comes over, he's a warrior. So he's just tanking it so that I can mage so that me with low hits can actually kill something. So we're getting pretty good experience. And then out of nowhere, Gust Feather just drops on us.
Oh no.
Takes out the tank in two hits. Like a 500 and dead. I'm like, oh god, run. So I'm running. I got all the way back up to next station. He's still on my tail. So I'm running all the way across back over towards Wailing Caverns. Like, oh god, get off me, get off me. Finally he stops. And then I've got like all these monitor lizards on me. I'm like, oh man, it's not over yet. So I'm still running. I get like halfway back to the other side of Commonlands when finally they let go. It was just so bad. He gets back alive and he's like all mad because this random mob comes out of nowhere and just swiped him. He didn't even have a chance.
Nice.
I run all the way back down there and he's like, okay, bye. It's like, oh man, thanks a lot, Gus Feather. Just ruined this great group. I was getting such good experience there too.
Damn. I love Gus Feather, man, because that was one of those mobs that when I was, you know, running around the common lands at level, you know, 10 and 15 and all that, and I'd see this giant bird in the sky. You know, he's one of the named creatures that plagues me as, you know, one of the new players. I'm running around out there and I'm getting owned by this guy. Every now and again he would just, you know, he flies around the commons and they would just swoop down and destroy you every now and again. And it was so nice for me to go out there and get to kill him one day. When he was like, I think he was yellow to us the first time I took him down. It was a lot of fun. I like fighting those named guys. That's where I have the most fun, I think, in these kind of games, is like camping for some, you know, mob and then being able to take them down. But what sucks in EverQuest is that if they're gray, they won't drop any loot.
Yeah, I found that out. Layden, I don't know how you pronounce it, had popped it one day. I was out there training at Ruins of Elmar, and they're like, okay, we're looking for some groups to raid Layden. We're looking for 20 to 25. I'm like, eh, I've never seen a dragon. Let's go see what this is about. So I finally get another person out of my group to run with me, because those rats out there will still kill me to this day. They're like 10 levels below me, and they'll still kill me.
Yeah.
So I'm running over there, and we get there, and this dragon's huge. And he's like red 3 up times 2 is what I'm told. So I join the group. I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to die, get crazy dead, but this is going to be fun. So we get two groups together, and some more people show up, so I drop out of a group, and we get three groups. Well, then he's no drop. Like, oh man, okay, well, let's consolidate this and get two really good groups. So since I am like level 17, I drop out and just go chill on this rock taking screenshots. So, they finally get two good groups together. Well, good for what they were looking for anyway.
Yeah.
They get two groups and the first dude, he's on a horse. He runs up there, goes to attack. His health bar doesn't show up when he attacks. Alright. And then the next couple guys show up. And they actually hit, and he aggroed one of the guys. And it took out their whole group. And one hit, group is down.
Holy
and then all these little baby dragons, or Dracotas, they come up, and they're like adept Dracotas, and they're like red, one up. And they take out everyone else. In less than 10 seconds, two groups got laid out with no problem. Didn't get to hit anything.
Come back, so
they're all trying to revive, get corpses. The Dracotas are all chasing them around, still killing them. Craziness.
That is
and
awesome.
Most of the people were like, oh man, like 50% dead. This sucks.
Damn.
Yeah, they got on bad.
That's so much fun, though. There was this this guy, Coldtooth, and he kind of looks like a giant hamster with a big-ass tooth, and everybody keeps saying he's some kind of a walrus or a seal, but he's got a tail. and he's white, and his name's Cold Tooth. He's like 30, 33 triple up arrow, and he's got three buddies, two of which are, I think, the same level, but double up arrow, then one's one up arrow. And he's been up for a few days out there in Thundering Steps right now. And me and some of my guys that I go out and play with, there was only three of us there, and we clearly couldn't fight this guy, but we were curious to see how hard he hits. So our tank didn't want to find out the hard way, right? Because it was me, the tank, and the warlock. And the tank didn't want to find out how hard he hit, but I did. I wanted to know how hard this guy would hit, so I thought, well, I stand the best chance of survival. I'll shoot the guy, so he'll be far away, then I'll run my ass off to the zone, and I'll be okay, and, you know, maybe I can evac or something. That's probably my best ass-saving skill. I can escape, and then I zone the whole party back to the front. So I disband the group, so I don't give them any dead, because, you know, there's the possibility I might die, but I stand a good chance of living, you know, because, you know, that's what we do. We survive, you know, and I have no fear of this creature, because I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be able to run for my life, because I'm going to shoot it, first of all. So I'm already going to have a good lead on this guy. So I get behind him, I shoot it, and I do, like, you know, 400 points of damage or something, and I turn to move, and I can't move.
Oh, he rooted you?
No, he's got this screeching thing that stuns you. And, I had no idea. We didn't know, and we were just kind of, you know, out there to test up it. Oh, man. I looked at the chat screen, and it says he does some Cold Tooth screech or something, and it does 1,000 points of damage to me. And I've probably got like 2,600 or so hit points. I'm really not sure. I don't get hit enough to even pay attention. So I think, oh, crap, you know, this sucks. Maybe it'll let up in a second. Well, finally it lets up. I turn around. He hits me one time for 2,400 points of damage, and I go down.
Holy
God. Yeah. That was nuts. Have you guys been into, probably not. At about level 28, I'd say, there's the Nektropos Castle out there in Nek Forest. It's an instance zone, so you have to get a group of people that you trust, you know, and, like, you know, grab your guildmates or something, or people that you play with all the time and that you know are good players. And at about, like, level, I think we went in there the first time at, like, 27, 28. Everything was like red, orange, and yellow to us. So it was really challenging, but it was so much fun. And so far, that's been probably my favorite zone to be in, because it takes you out of, you know, everybody else's world. All of a sudden, you're in your own little instance. You're in this castle. There's nobody else can zone in but you and your group. And you can tell they put a lot of time into this instance because of the quests. There's a lot of different mobs. There's quests all over this place. There's a really cool story. As opposed to a lot of the stupid quests that I noticed that you get most of the time when you're playing this. You know, you're walking around and you're getting quests to kill 5 of these or kill 10 of those or go here, kill 5 of these and 10 of those. You know, those kind of suck. You get into Nek Castle and, you know, you're like trying to solve this mystery of how this fucking necromancer, like, and they're all his daughters died and they're haunting the castle and, you know, there's all kinds of crazy, freaky creatures, and there's a necromancer in there who's trying to tap the power of the guy that was in there, and all kinds of cool stuff is going on. And you can't just walk through the zone. You, like, even if you brought a burly party in there, you couldn't just walk through the place. You have to do, you know, a bunch of weird little quests and stuff, and do a little bit of investigation and a little bit of, you know, treasure hunting and puzzle solving to get anywhere, because, you know, you have to open up secret hallways and there's like secret doors to get into hallways that you can't access, but to even make it so you can even click the door, you know, you have to do a quest, you know, so that you get like a map of the castle, your character gets a map of the castle and it tells you where the sconce is, you know, that you can pull, and then it opens up a secret passageway, and then you creep through there, and then you find out, you know, you find one of the ghosts of one of the sisters, and of this guy's daughters, and there's six of them, and, you know, you'll kill it, and somewhere in her room is, like, a clue as to which one you have to go find next time, and you'll like, let's say you find their diary, and you're reading her diary, and it says that one of the sisters likes to hang out in another one of the sisters' room, because they always would, like, I don't know, play games or whatever. So then you cruise on over to that sister's room, and they're both in there, and you gotta kill them too. And then you get another clue as to where you're supposed to go now, and which one you're supposed to hunt down. And eventually you get deep enough to fight the lord of the castle and all that, and you see some of his creations and stuff, and it's amazing. It is so much fun.
That sounds pretty cool.
It is. That's probably the most fun I've had so far in this game, is doing that little instance. We've gone through there quite a few times. You have to go in there for a couple different quests too, like, have you guys been doing a lot of, like, the heritage quests, where it's, like, old EverQuest 1 Uber gear?
No, I haven't got through many of those yet.
You'll get, a heritage quest. It's, you know how your quest log kind of sections them out by, you know, like by zone or whatever, or city task or whatever crap it is.
Yep.
You'll get some that are heritage quests, and it's fat gear from EverQuest 1 in EverQuest 2 with some long-ass story and long quest to do, and it's really cool because you get pretty good experience off of it. You get some awesome weapon. And then if you're a guild member, you get a lot of guild experience and you get a lot of status points too, which you can use to buy shit from the city merchants for a reduced price if you've got status points. So those are kind of cool because you see a bunch of gear like you guys played EverQuest 1?
Nope.
Okay, yeah, see I didn't either. So great. We got a bunch of newbies talking about EverQuest 1 now, so but anyway, see, I don't know. I don't know what the fat gear from EverQuest 1 was, but they had apparently some gear in there that was like, pretty cool in the beginning, like before all the expansions came out. And you see a lot of the old EverQuest 1 players running around this game talking about, you know, oh, you can get this belt or that flail or this sword or that dagger. And it's cool because, you know, they all know about it and it's neat to them. It's very nostalgic, you know, and to us, it's just fat gear. So it's pretty cool because I've gone out and got some of those. But one of the cooler ones I got is something called a fishbone earring, which gives me water breathing.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's really handy, because I hate trying to track down some kind of a priest to cast that crap on me when I need to go swim somewhere. So it's pretty neat, you know, but the quest was so long, and the cool thing about it was I was able to solo 90% of the quest. This thing, let's see, at level 40, the earring I think is white to me now. I'm pretty sure, I can't remember. I think it's white to me, so it's about a level 40 earring. It might be like 39, though. I'm really not sure. But, you know, you go out and you start the quest, and you're tracking down this guy who's telling you, this guy tells you the story about a sea captain, like this pirate ship captain or something, who had this, like, uncanny ability to, like, survive. Like, you know, like, let's say his ship went down and he would turn up somewhere and live or some shit. And it turns out because he's got the ability to breathe underwater because of this earring. So you're walking all over the place trying to track down what happened to this earring. And they have you swimming out in the ocean, and you find shipwrecks under the ocean, and you'll find, you know, carcasses of giant beasts that were, you know, slain out over the ocean one day, and now you're swimming through their ribcage and stuff. And, you know,
the ship that I heard about out, like, where you port into a common land, you swim out?
If you're in the commons and you swim out there, I actually haven't gone to that shipwreck, but, because out in the commons, the part for this particular quest was under a ribcage somewhere. So, I haven't actually gone out to the shipwreck out there. The shipwreck one I went to was out in Thundering Steps. There's one out there somewhere, too. There's just pieces of a ship laying around. But there's a lot of cool stuff under the water, too, if you go swimming around. The problem is, I died 4 times trying to find pieces, you know, or clues of this earring while I'm out there swimming around. It was a real pain in the ass. You get a big appreciation for water breathing when you're trying to do this quest. It's pretty neat, though.
For no real reason, whenever I'm out there training at the ruins of Elmar, like every 20 or so fights I need to take a break to catch up on power.
Mm-hmm.
I just usually just hop in the river and just start leveling up my swimming for no real reason.
Well, it's a good idea because you can hold your breath longer.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping, but I don't see that it's really adding that much.
Yeah, I don't either. Mine's at 204 right now, and it doesn't seem like it's barely helping at all.
Yeah, mine's at 81, and it hasn't changed much.
Yeah, so I'd say keep it max just in the, you know, on the hope that it would, you know, actually work well, but, I mean, I don't know. Maybe someday it'll help a little bit more, but, you know, ideally you'll come across this earring, and there's this thing called, like, the flowing black silk sash that a bunch of EverQuest 1 players know. Apparently it used to be a really cool sash, and, it gives you haste.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are we talking about, like, Final Fantasy haste?
Where it'll speed up your attack rate.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it'll be nice to be able to cast a little bit faster, and for me, you know, it's all about swinging those little puny daggers as fast as I possibly can. That's pretty neat. I've got a neat little story that I want to share. I was out in, I can't quite pronounce the name of the place. I think it's Feerrot. It's F-E-E-R-R-O-T-T. I'm running around out here with my group, and the warlock in our group, you guys have probably seen people running around with this robe on. It's purple and black, and a lot of, like, the level 40 casters are wearing this robe. You'll see them all over. All of a sudden, it became a really popular item because it gives you mana regen, this robe. Well, the quest starts out here, and apparently you have to find some kind of a rock, and if you look underneath this rock out in this jungle, you'll find pieces of a tattered robe, which you have to repair, which eventually becomes this really cool robe. And it was great. Our group went out there. We had to get the robe for the warlock. So we go out there, and apparently they knew right where the rock was. So they go out there, and the rock spawns like every couple of minutes, and there's some dude sitting there who's camping this rock. And he's just sitting there on top of this rock, and every time it spawns, he clicks it, and he picks up the rock. Because what he's doing is he's selling them on the market for a shitload of money.
So, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's bullshit, because this guy won't give it up. He's like, no, you know, I'm going to sit here. This is his cash cow. So I said, you know, this is messed up. This is bullshit. I want to do this quest too because I can use the robe when I'm crafting to get my power back, right? And he won't give us the rock. And he finally breaks down and he gives the warlock the rock. He says, okay, you can have the next spawn. So fine. Our warlock takes it. That's great. Nobody else seems to really care, but I'm pissed because I want it because I want to craft wearing this robe so I get mana regen. So, our group wanders off and something happens. You know, we get aggro from all kinds of crazy shit and everybody gets split up. And I find out that I'm back where the rock is and this dude's still sitting there. And there's a group of people sitting there that I know, a group of people that I played with before, just a little, you know, a couple days ago or last week or whatever. I played with them for a couple days and they were really cool. And they want the rock also, and the guy's being a hard ass about it and wouldn't let them get the spawn. Well, if you're not in my group and if I go into stealth, you can't see me. So I stealth myself. Walk right up on top of this rock. This guy has nobody had any idea I was there. And I'm just hammering my mouse button as fast as I possibly can. Right after I see it spawn once, I know where it spawns. I'm pounding away on my mouse button. I end up getting four of these robes from this guy.
Oh, nice.
Passing them out to the party that was standing there waiting for him. And the guy had no idea. And you'll see him. The rock appears and disappears. And he looks around. And he's like, you know, talking and saying. He's like, what the hell?
That's great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That's the kind of stuff I really enjoy, is messing with other people like that, too. Like, when you're camping and named and I can outpull them, that's my favorite shit. That made my day. So,
like, whenever you're, like, training somewhere and all of a sudden you just barely live through this fight. Something pops. You don't know if you're going to make it. Everyone's freaking out. Run yet? Run yet? And you just barely pull it off. Everyone has no power, no health. You barely scritch by, and then you're like, that was some good time. Good job, everybody.
Yeah.
When everyone does their job and you survive something you should have died on.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Dude, those survival stories are great. There's a place called Death Fist Citadel, another instance zone that we get worked over in every time so far. But out in front, there's these two or three named guys that spawn out there. And to our group now, at like 4041, they're like, I think they're white to us. And we thought, oh, we can take these guys. So we're out there, we pull the first group, and we have a coercer, so he's mezzing like hell. He's just trying to mezz all the extra guys that they come with and the other name, and we're trying to take one at a time. By the end of the killing, you know, this first group, we're all about half power. So we start, you know, attacking the second group, his named and then the other little dudes that were with him. We killed that dude. We're completely drained on power, and we didn't know this. There's a triggered spawn right after you kill the second group. So we get bum-rushed by yet another named guy and two of his little peons.
Oh,
it was so crazy. And this just happened like 3-4 days ago. I can't remember the guy's name, but oh my god. It was, and we somehow lived. You know, it was just complete dumb luck. We've got a coercer in the group, so he's able to cast, like, Breeze, which for the Final Fantasy players is Refresh, where it's mana regen during the fight. So he was able to keep us together with that. The assassins have kind of it's lame. It's a cool idea, but it's screwed up right now. It's called makeshift weapon. And you use the skill, and it gives you some crappy little item that you put in your equipable slot. The cool part about this weapon is it uses the power when you cast the spell. So ideally, you make this weapon, you can only have one at a time, and you put it in your equipable slot, and then you regen your power, right? Like, just normal. So you carry this thing around until you need it, is the idea. Because when you need it, it doesn't use power to use it, it just uses power to make it. So you'll see assassins walking around with this thing called makeshift weapon. And it's great in a situation like that where nobody has any power and you need to do, you know, as much damage as you possibly can. That's an extra 100 points of damage that we have that doesn't use any power right there. It's really cool.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it's pretty handy. The problem is it must be bugged or something because it only does 78 points of damage every single time. And I've tried the Apprentice 1, the Apprentice 2, the Apprentice 3, and I now have the Adept 1, and every single time it still only does 78 points of damage.
And man.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, most of the bugs that I've come across have been problems, well, the Griffin. Has anybody had this problem with the Griffin in Common Lands? Where you just hop on it, and all of a sudden the screen goes black, and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Log out.
I've had that happen to me 2 times.
Yeah, that really sucks. I've had it happen twice. And the first time it happened, it dropped me. And there's a scorpion pit. I don't know where it's at. It's just some random place on the west side of Commons. It just drops me in the middle of the scorpion pit. They're all, like, red. This is back when I was, like, level 14 or something.
Yeah.
They're all red to me. And I'm like, okay, there's a hill. Let's go to the top of the hill and look around and see a way out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you run to the top of the hill, all of a sudden, like, some bee comes out of there. He's, like, red 2 up or something. I didn't even see him. He came up, hit me, and I was like, I'm out of here. And I'm, like, half dead, running with little power. And finally, he stops chasing me. But it sucks. They just dropped me in the middle of nowhere.
That's funny. I know exactly where you're talking about. If you stand on the top of that hill, all kind. It should have been more than one bee, I think, comes out. Because when I went up there the first time on accident...
Yeah, like, I didn't stay long enough to find out. That's
like 700 bees were chasing me. It's crazy. But apparently, the point of that area is, I guess your group can go out there, and if you guys run up on the top and trigger that, and then your group stays and fights, the mobs get increasingly tougher until you get to fight a named or something, and you get some pretty cool loot out of it.
That sounds cool.
So, yeah, that'd be kind of neat. I've never actually gone out there and done that, and it's pointless for me now, but it would have been really cool to do something like that, though. So, did you guys ever play with an Inquisitor in the group? The healer guys?
I haven't used an Inquisitor. I've had clerics and druids mainly.
Oh, yeah. Earlier on, they actually patched this out. They gave the Inquisitor a skill. You probably see this item for sale from the merchant all the time. It's called an Odyssey Stone.
Yeah.
Do you know what that does?
No.
I had no idea. Turns out it's that the Inquisitor has to have an Odyssey Stone, and he can burn the stone and warp one player back to whatever, like, the entrance to the zone is or whatever. So our Inquisitor knew this, but the thing of it was, you could do it to anybody.
What?
Yeah. So
somebody's camping your mob, and you're just like, man, get out of here.
Exactly. It almost made me want to make an Inquisitor. Now, they've since patched it out. They took it out because it was just too awesome. We were sitting out there in the Thundering Steps, out there killing giants. We were probably, like, level 25 or so, 26 maybe, killing giants, and it was a really popular area to kill giants. You guys have probably been there, too. There's, like, a pit in the ground where you fight a lot of giants, and they keep spawning in the pit and around the pit. And
there was some pit that I was in, and we ended up wiping.
Yeah, you'll spend a lot of time there, because killing those giants is pretty good experience. It's a neat place. And we get a group that rolls in on us. Now, one of the guys in our group, the Defiler, is kind of a loudmouth, I guess. And this guy likes to, you know, kind of start shit with other people. This group moves in next to us and starts pulling some giants, and he was really pissed. And it wasn't really a big deal. There was plenty of spawns for everybody, but our group was tearing them down pretty fast. So this group gets going. They kill one mob, and our Defiler gets mad. So he walks over there, and it's great because he could have said it, you know, in a tell, directly to another player so that nobody heard him. Like, he could have sent it to their tank or their healer or whoever and said, hey, this is our camp, could you please move? Instead, and you gotta love it, because on our screen, his character walks over into the middle of their group, right? Like, after a fight, their guys are standing around, like, in a circle. Our Defiler walks over to their group, stands in the middle of them, and then out and say, goes, hey, fuckers, this is our camp. Get the fuck out of here. And he's just tearing on these guys, and our group is laughing so hard. But then, of course, they get pissed because our Defiler's kind of a jackass about it. You know, he wasn't very polite and very nice. Granted, it wasn't polite and nice for them to, you know, take, you know, roll in on our camp. But, you know, shit happens. They ask them to move, they'll probably move. But because he was kind of a dick, they wanted to be kind of a dick to us. Now, the only problem with that teleporting people home is you can't do it in combat. So they pull a mob, they kill the giant, and their tank heads out to go grab another one. So our Inquisitor goes, you know what, fuck these guys. He starts sending home their healer.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I never laughed so hard in my life because their tank goes out there and has no idea. By the time the tank gets to the giant, their healer is gone. He just disappears, right? We all go invisible so they can't see us. They think we escaped, reported home or something, right? Then they're, and we're watching the whole fight though, because we're standing right there. They got no healer. They just get owned. I mean, this giant is in there ripping them up. The tank has no idea what happened, but the rest of the group, you can see them looking around for the healer. Oh my god.
Are they like dead or something? What happened?
Dead bodies everywhere. We sent them a tell after they fought, they fight. They actually killed the thing, and they only had 2 or 3 people die. Their healer's running back from where we sent him, which was back to the beginning of the zone. And
they warped that trip.
Yeah, it was cool. He sends them a tell, he goes, what happened? And he goes, oh, I don't know, man. We thought you guys were going to get killed, so we decided to warp out. But we were all standing right there, and they didn't know it. And he goes, well, something happened. We think our healer crashed or something. I was dying. And it's great because do you guys use any kind of voice chat?
No, yeah, I'm on dial-up right now, so I can't.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be kind of rough. Because our group uses Ventrilo. VENTRILO.com. And you can get it for free. It's and you can have up to 8 people on your little voice chat deal. So it's pretty cool because, you know, I sit here and I play with them, and it makes the group go a lot faster rather than trying to, you know, type out what's going on. And if you guys get aggro for something, you can, you know, yell it real quick rather than try to type it out. I'm sure my neighbors love me, though, and they have no idea what the hell I'm doing in here.
Yeah.
So I know I get pretty loud sometimes, and I know they're just like, what the hell, he's talking about killing dragons and shit. That guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it sucks when you're in a group and you're, like, running up to try and find them, and you're just like, okay, I know there's something behind me, but if I stop, I'm dead. And if I keep running, when I get there, I'm dead. So what do I do? And you try and turn on auto run, and then you have running into something else, and it's just too much of a trouble to try and tell them, hey, there's like 20 rats behind me, watch out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm coming with a train, be ready. That's awesome. That's always the stuff that makes it so much fun. I see people sit and they complain about the grind in these games, you know, where they're talking about, oh man, all I do is sit there and I kill stuff for hours and hours and hours, and I can't imagine how we're playing the same game and yet completely different, because for a good portion of EverQuest 2, I did not have to sit and kill creatures for the express purpose of killing creatures for a long time. Most of it was, I'm on a quest to go hunt these guys down, or I'm supposed to go find this guy's lost fucking shoe, or whatever the hell it is, and on the way to go get this guy's item, I have to kill stuff along the way. So it was nice to break it up with some, you know, dumbass little quests.
Yeah, most of the stuff that I've gone through so far, like in Isles of Refuge, you pretty much quest your way all the way up to the cap, which is like 7, I think.
Yeah, it's 6, and then like 220%.
Yeah, you cap yourself pretty much the whole way with quests, and you get a couple artisan quests too. And then as soon as you get into, was it Longshore Alley or something?
Long Shadow Alley?
Yeah, Long Shadow Alley. There's a couple quests there that give you a little bit of experience and stuff. But once I got past, like, 10 or so, it's pretty much been grinding and a little bit of questing in between all the way up to 20. I've been seeking out quests, which is probably the problem. I've just been fighting like crazy, which hasn't been a bad thing. I'm having fun, so it's not like I'm boring myself to death.
Yeah, that's good. That's the important thing, is not getting bored, not doing the same thing over and over and over for no good reason. I see a lot of people that play, and all they do is grind, and they think that's what you're supposed to do, and it's like, shit, man, if you go out and go talk to people, you'll get all kinds of quests around town. There's a lot of stuff out there, too. I mean, there's so many NPCs, and it seems like, and I just turn them down most of the time, because I'm so sick and tired of all the quests I have. My quest log only holds 50, and I'm always at about 48.
Yeah, most of the way full right now, and usually I get it, and I don't worry about it, and a week later, somehow it's done, and I just go find the guy again.
Yep, because eventually you came across and killed that particular mob. Now, at level 20, they have a really, really, I think, really cool quest, because when I was playing at that level, all of a sudden, you know, I hit 20, and it was really hard for me at 19, because I was a solo scout. I soloed my way to 20, and I was out there killing those stupid Valriches, getting, like, next to no experience. It was taking me, like, an hour and a half to kill one, it felt like. I mean, it was terrible, and I was like, oh, this is starting to really suck. I'm not so sure about this. Well, somehow I managed to make level 20, and then there's a guy, let's see, you guys both wear very light armor, right?
Yep.
Okay, if you go to East Freeport, and I'm pretty sure it's in the furniture shop, there's a witch in there. Go talk to the witch, and she'll give you an armor quest. And I'm sure you guys see people all the time saying that they need a group to do AQ1 or AQ2 or AQ3 or whatever.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now, in fact.
Yeah, those armor quests I think were really cool, because for me it was the guy in the bow and arrow shop in East Freeport. He gives me the medium armor quest. It's 6 different quests. And it took a lot of time to do. By the time I started the quest at 20, and by the time I was done, I think I was 26 or 27. So it was like, wow, I actually, you know, and all I did was, you know, run around and kill things to get this guy's, you know, shit done, and I got some really awesome armor. The only thing that I noticed was that seemed to be the roughest period in the game for me. Like, it was, I had like 20 to 60% debt all the time. I was just like, oh my god, this is brutal. I can't kill anything fast. It was really strange. It seemed like it was like a really hard point in the game, but they made it easy because, you know, you weren't You weren't thinking about grinding through the experience. You were thinking about, I gotta get this next piece of armor because it's awesome.
Do you think you'd be able to make it to 30 if you hadn't died the whole way, or is that just not possible you're gonna die?
I die a lot. As a scout, I die a lot more than I should. But
yeah, as a wizard, if anything goes wrong, I'm down, no matter what. If anything happens, we're done.
That sucks.
Yeah, no hits.
Yeah, we have a coercer in the group that I play with most of the time, and that poor guy, he gets hit one time and he's dead. You know, he's level 38, and he gets hit one time and he's toast, because we're fighting crap that's like level 44 or 45, and it just absolutely rocks him, and I feel so bad, because it's like, there's not anything that I could have done. It happens so quick.
Yeah, it's different whenever you accidentally, like, pull something and next thing your group's dead. It's just, you gotta... A mage? Well, anything goes wrong, he's done.
I feel bad for some of the mages, I really do, because I see him drop real quick, but I really like the mage type of class, too. I'm big on the thief stuff, so I play that first and foremost whenever I can, but my secondary choice is always some kind of a mage. And I started playing one the other day. It's a level 8 mage right now, level 9 provisioner, though. I don't know why, but I got all involved in crafting with this other chick for some reason. You guys can make a ton of money crafting. If you hop on the crafting and the trading channel, there's people there 24 hours a day buying and selling crap, and it's usually cheaper than the market. It's really weird. It's like this whole society of this is all these people do is buy and sell and trade within each other, and then every now and again, you know, stuff leaks out on the market for whatever price. Do you guys do any kind of gathering or anything?
Not really. I've been gathering stuff randomly. Most of the stuff I just drop right there if I don't know what it does, because I'm like level 5, and all the recipe books, I've got like 3 of them out of the shop, and already this list of recipes is so insanely long that I find like some crazy root, and I'm looking through for 20 minutes trying to figure out what I can use it for, give up and drop it, and get something I know how to use. I've dropped tons of stuff.
That's true. There is a billion recipes, and they get pretty advanced. I mean, like, as far as what you have to make in order to make something else?
Yeah, I was looking through, like, okay, they have Arcane Bindings 3 I can make. So I wonder how long it's going to take me to make this. I look, and there's, like, 4 other things I got to make before I can even try to start making Arcane Bindings.
Yeah. To make, for the alchemists, one of our biggest things is we have to make ink. And we have to make, it to get to the ink, there's 6 total combines that we have to make. And it's like 4 different things. We have to make 2 of one of them, and then 1's the final thing. And it's just like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. I can't take this anymore. I mean, it's crazy, but it's pretty cool because it, you know, it makes really good money, and everybody needs it and buys it. But I've got all my everything but fishing. I've got foresting, gathering, trapping, foresting, gathering, and mining up to whatever level I am now. It's like 208 or something. And I'll tell you what, don't drop that crap. Because it is a gold mine. You would not believe the demand for that crap.
Well, the problem I have is bank space and inventory space in this game seems to be so limited. I mean, my bank is full of bags.
Yeah,
so I like 4-slot bags because I'm poor, but I don't have enough space for all that stuff. I've got 2 6-slots that I carry with me, and then 2 4-slots that I carry with me, and then almost my entire bank is 4 slots. There's 1 spot left.
Yeah, it starts out pretty rough like that. That's exactly how I was, too. I had a bunch of 4-slot bags in every single slot. And I went out, started gathering, and then I would just sell it on the market at night for, you know, a reasonable price. People would always buy it because those resources are needed by every crafter. And eventually, I was turning such a good profit that it seemed like, wow, I'm going to take all this money, and instead of buying armor and weapons, I'm going to buy bags, because the more space I have, the more money I'm making. And I'm to the point now where my bank alone, let's see, how many slots are in the bank? 12?
8.
Well, there's 8 plus the 4.
I don't even use those. I figured they're shared, and I didn't use them, so hey, there's 4 slots I haven't even tried to use.
Yeah, you know, I didn't use them either until I was like level 30, and I left them alone because I felt almost like it was cheating for some reason. I just thought, no, this is for me to transfer shit from one guy to another, but screw that. I got so much crap I have to carry now. So you can put boxes in those 4 shared slots also, and then just, you know, use them like regular slots. So that's 12 slots. I have 240 slots in my bank.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What size bags do you have?
20 slot boxes.
When do you get those?
If you look on the Trader channel, on the Crafter channel, there's some guy that sells boxes of any size you want for a absolutely reasonable price. There was a guy selling 12 slot boxes for 40 silver today.
What?
Yeah, you just gotta hang out on
all of those. I'd sell my stuff to get those.
Just run into me. I'll give you the money for the damn things. It's so worth it to have the space. And then on me, I've got four 12-slot bags and two 20-slot bags.
Did they ever fix those 20-slot bags? Because I seen something, there was a quest you do, and they said that it was still only like a 10-slot because half the thing was bugged and it didn't give you all the space.
Oh, I'm not sure which bag that is, because I must not have it, because mine worked just fine.
Yeah, it was some quest where you get a 20-slot bag, and it's, like, really good for your level. It's, like, a mid-20 quest, and it gives you a 20-slot, and apparently it was bugged for a while.
Huh, I'm not sure which one that is. There's a quest to pick up these, if you guys look on the market, and it costs a lot, though, so it might be too much to go out and buy it, but it's the Enchanted Maple Leaf Collection Quest. If you get these Enchanted Maple Leaves, some guy wants, like, 8 of them, and you know how you have the Collection Quest where you gotta find 8 of the different types of things or whatever?
Yeah.
The Enchanted Maple Leaf one gives you a 20-slot bag. The problem is, the bag is bugged in our favor. The bag is 20 slots, but it's only supposed to hold those collection items. You know, shit.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, right?
So, collection bag that was bugged, or something that didn't work, or worked, or I don't know. That was the one they were talking about.
Yeah, it works in our favor, though, because it holds anything, currently.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It
will suck when they fix it.
It will. It's going to suck ass because I'm going to drop mine because it'll be useless to me. But for right now, it's an awesome 20-slot bag.
For collecting things, like whenever you're going around doing gathering?
I don't know actually if it'll hold the gathering stuff yet. I'm pretty sure that, because it says it'll only hold collectibles, which I assume are for those quests.
Well, if it can hold gathering stuff, that's cool.
Yeah, that'd be worth it.
That's pretty much what all the bags are for. The stuff that you gather, like mob draws.
Yeah, totally. That would be really...
But the gathering, because that takes up a lot of space.
It does, especially if you go... Because if you go to, like, ore, you're only going to get, like, two different kinds of ore. You know, you get, like, lead and tin and whatever, right? You know, you're only going to get three different types total, I think, unless you get a rare. But if you go hit up, like, a food thing, go out and mine the damn bushes, and there's, like, 18 different things that you can get off of a bush.
Yeah.
It's insane. But I'll tell you guys what, do not throw that shit away, because... Or at least look at the name. Because some of that stuff is worth a fortune. It is a gold mine. If you're in the commons, and if you ever get a silver cluster, or a coral, or, I can't remember what the other one is. Black iron or something like that? Blackened iron?
Yeah, blackened iron.
Right? They're worth multiple gold. The coral is selling for 15 gold on the market right now.
Jesus.
Yeah, so be careful what you throw away.
And yeah, most of the stuff has been roots. There's like 20 different kind of roots, and I don't know what they're for, so I just threw them away.
That's for the alchemy stuff, mostly, the roots. Because I'm at 39, and I'm still using all kinds of different roots for dumb shit like that, too. But it is really, really worth it to go out and gather that kind of stuff, you know, just because if you get lucky and get a rare. You know, when you take the boat out to the outside of the commons, and you go from there to the Griffin Tower? You know what I'm talking about, where the docks are in the commons?
Uh-huh.
Right, and there's that little stretch of land you have to run between the docks and the Griffin Tower. That's how I get around when I need to go out to Net Castle or whatever. So I'll zone out to the commons and I'll run to the Griffin Tower, and there's one rock there all the time. There's always like one rock or a root or something stupid. Well, if it's a rock, every single time I run past there, I mine it. One day, I ran past there, and on my first hit, I got a silver cluster, which was selling for 10 gold at the time. Yeah, so it's worth it, you know. It's worth it to keep those gathering skills real high. Even if not just for the rares, even the regular crap sells really well. Out there in Rivervale, where I'm out mining and all that shit now, each thing I pick up sells for 10 silver like crack.
Oh.
Yeah, each one, and that's being generous. That's being cheap. If the going rate is about 15 silver for each one, but if you sell it for 10, it disappears instantly on the market.
How much money do you have in your bank right now?
One plat, 70 gold.
Now, right now, to me, one plat is like crazy amount of money. I've never seen one plat. I probably had 3 or 4 gold the entire time I played.
Yeah, I was the same way up until about level... When I hit about 27, 28 was when I saw like 10 gold for the first time. I was probably level 28, I think.
Yeah, I want to get a mount so bad. There's like little 20s running around with mounts. I'm like, oh, you guys suck.
I know, but they're hella expensive, though. They're 2 platinum for the ghetto horse.
Yeah, the one I want is like 3 platinum, like 50 gold or something crazy.
Yeah, it's there's one for 2 platinum, 3 platinum, and 9 platinum. So, I don't know. I don't know anybody with that kind of money, but I do see people running around on those horses. And you know what it is? It's usually an alchemist. And the provisioners. They make a shitload of money. Because what kind of food are you guys using? That's what I was going to ask you. I forgot about that.
I was actually reading a thread about this on the EQ2 forums a while, well, 2 days ago. And some guy ranting about people that don't use food and water. And mainly wizards that don't use or use summon food and water.
Oh, yeah, that stuff is crap.
They last 2 or 3 rounds. Mostly what I use is filtered water. It's a level 20, and it's like 100 copper for a 20 stack, which is enough to keep me going pretty much all day.
Yeah.
So I usually make sure I always have 20.
I picked up some orange beer a while back, and it was pretty sweet. It was, like, really fast.
Oh, wow. Was it a quest?
No, it was off the market.
Oh, nice. Now, see, that's what you got to do. It wasn't in the game originally, so I don't know if you guys keep, or if you ever look at it, but recently, remember that big patch that we had, the one that fixed all kinds of shit? They added descriptions for the food.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it has become an extremely important thing now, to pay attention to the type of food, because the merchants will only sell food that has average regen. The crafters can make food that sells that has high regen and lasts more than, like, the NPC stuff only lasts
hour.
Half an hour. Yeah, some of the NPC or the crafted stuff will last anywhere from an hour, well, anywhere from 45 minutes to 4.5 hours.
Jesus, that's nice.
It's awesome, but they're charging through the nose. Every time I buy a drink, it's a level 40 drink, and it lasts like 3 hours and 22 minutes, and it costs me like 75 silver for each one. I know. So when I die, I'm pissed.
yeah.
It sucks. But there comes a point where all of a sudden it seemed like I was dead broke for the whole fucking game, and I was so pissed, and I gotta buy poisons, and I gotta buy arrows, and I gotta keep upgrading my armor and my weapons, and I gotta buy all this ridiculous food, and I was buying the cheap food. And then all of a sudden you start getting some pretty good drops, about like level 27. It seemed like all of a sudden I was making tons of money, just hand over fist. But I also started gathering around that time, too. So all of a sudden I had 10 gold, and I felt like I was a millionaire. And then I bought bags so I could carry more shit, and then I was able to sell more shit, and then all of a sudden I was up to like 20 gold, and then I started crafting, and I figured, well, if I just pump all my money into my craft, I wonder if I'll do pretty good. And I'll tell you what, alchemists can make money without a player, period. Because if you look on the market, those roots that you're selling, right, notice that there's a huge price war. Like, if you look at the market at like 3 a.m. Pacific time, the top root on that first level thing is always like, you know, let's say a silver piece. And then the bottom root, there's like 4 pages of roots, because everybody gathered all day long. The bottom page, some jackass is selling the roots for like 2 copper just because he wants to sell them quick. If you buy those for that 2 copper, go into the trade school place and then buy 6 copper, you know, you buy a candle and some water, and then you make a pristine, you get 4 of the chemicals you make out of the root, and they sell to the NPC for like, you know, maybe 50 copper a piece.
Nice.
Right? You make
that's like making money out of.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like the stuff right now I'm making, they're called Tissaw roots, and you pick them up out in Enchanted Lands and out in Zek. And if you look on the market, the average price is probably 3 or 4 silver. It goes up to 6 silver on a bad day where there's low supply of these roots. Now, if you look on the Crafter channel, there's guys that don't just have maybe 10 or 12 and they're selling on the market. They have like 90 of them, and they want to sell them all. And they will sell them all to you for 2 silver a piece. So
it could be the other way around, that they're wanting like a silver each because they have so many.
Well, their prices go down. I mean, 2 silvers, because if on the market, you know, they're only like maybe between 3 and 6 silver for you to buy, but the other guy has 90 of them and wants to sell them all, but he'll sell them for 2 silver each. I'll go clean that guy out. And one root of that particular type, I put in a 6 copper thing of water, or I think it's 18 now, 18 copper worth of water and a 6 copper candle, and I make 4 things out of the one root. Each one of those sells for 2 silver and 50 copper, right? So I turn 1 silver into 10 silver in like 15, maybe 10 seconds.
That's insane.
It's awesome. I mean, you make so much money, it's ridiculous.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm still making money off loot, and it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. That's, and unless I'm soloing, I don't make very good money off of loot.
Yeah, it seems to me that I've always got the short end of the stick when it comes to Lotto. Is it just me, or do assassins, like, own Lotto?
Really? I thought we get screwed all the time.
Well, maybe just, I think I get screwed, maybe you get screwed, but I can't ever get anything. There was a while when I was like, okay, I don't need that, I'll decline. And then after a while, I was like, okay, I need that. Oh, I didn't get it. I was like, screw guys, I'm taking everything. I'm going to take my chances anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of groups are like that. If you're with a good group or, you know, like a guild group even, you know, it's always need before greed. So you get what you want, you know, and then you guys lotto on the other crap. So it works out pretty well. I've made, I don't know, decent money at that. The problem is everything costs so much. I bought a ring yesterday and won 2 pieces of armor, and that was 60 gold. You know, yeah, and it was like, God damn it, you know, this sucks. And if
how often are you upgrading your armor?
Well, not super often, really. Because they only have multiple, like, there's only really 5 tiers to everything, you know? So, like, in the first tier of armor, you've got whatever crap they gave you off the island and whatever you can buy, like, from an NPC, you know, whatever you can get lucky off of a drop. When you hit 20 and you go above that, you're in, like, the third tier stuff, your armor quest stuff is so good, it lasts you until you're 30. So then all of a sudden you hit level like 35 and you just start buying armor for the first time in forever. And you're like, wow, I saved up so much money not having to buy armor because my armor quest armor was so good. Now I've got 10 gold, but I gotta buy armor again. Oh, this blows. But you get some decent drops though at that point. You all of a sudden start getting drops that are way cool. So, I don't know. It seems like it worked out. It just took a long time to get through the rough time. The rough time for me was 20 to 25 was just brutal. It was so hard for me. And that's where Kobar stuck. Did you notice that? It took him forever to get from 20 to 25. He just now made like 25, 26, and all of a sudden he's doing a little bit better. He's starting to get some money. He started crafting again, and it's just like, ah, he's doing okay now, because those armor quests are brutal.
Yeah, I'm always thinking about not doing it, because it's not worth it, really, so far.
Well, I thought it was worth it entirely because you have, because if you do it, not only does it give you something to do from 20 to 26, you actually have a purpose to do, it's really good armor. It's not bad at all. Unless you're rich and you can buy better armor, like Hunter. All he does is camp low-level shit all day for money. And he's got like a plat and a half now, and his highest level guy is 26. And that guy skipped the armor quest because he was able to buy better stuff.
Yeah.
But he has a lot of money, and that's all he does is sit there and farm money out of some of these places when everything's green to him. It's crazy. He just makes money left and right. And there's a lot of good stuff, like playing the market. You know, like him and I, we found a couple items that sell at the Kinos market over there. So we go buy them from the black market for, like, a gold, and they sell in the Freeport market for 5 gold, like real quick. So it's a good way to make some money. I mean, you know, you just got to kind of pay attention, you know, to the market and stuff and whatnot.
Have you guys, do you know anyone that's just got a group or a raid together and just raided Kinos, just sat in it?
Just gone in there? I've gone in there before with a group of 6 people, but we were there for a quest, and we had to go sneak through town, but, because you can't kill the guards. The guards, if they see you, you get tossed out of the zone.
You should be able to fight them, what the hell?
I know.
I want to be able to take over the Kinos, and like, this is Freeport 2.
That would rule.
Like,
that,
done.
That would be awesome. Unfortunately, though, you get, and you know what the real bullshit is? They see through invisibility, too. Their little aggro thing will come off, so you think they're not aggro, but they still see through your invisibility, and if you get too close to a guard, all of a sudden you zone out to the town. Antonica.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. I really wish there was
like something. Like I say.
It's lame. What else sucks is, did you notice there's like 5 times as many players in Kinos?
I haven't ever been in Kinos. I've pretty much, well, I have 2 good players. I've got all my guys filled up. 2 bad, 2 good. One's on another server. I haven't ever been in Kinos. I got the good guy off of the boat. He's in Refuge Island. Almost done. He's going to be on Kinos on a different server. So I haven't ever been that far. I haven't seen it.
It's pretty amazing place, and they did such an amazing job of that. Like, I can understand why people hate being in Freeport, because the town is bland, it's ugly. I like walking around and people telling me I'm a piece of shit and I don't deserve to stand there, you know. I like it, because they're mean to you, you know. But it's just cool, it just adds to the atmosphere. But then you go out in the commons, and it's like you're fighting fucking orcs for 100 years, and the zone is just bland. There's nothing but, like, sand and the occasional rock and maybe a tree that's dying here and there, you know. And, like, the Wailing Caves is a joke. It's small. You go to Fallen Gate, and it's like, it takes you, you know, if you were to run from one end to the deepest end, it takes you, like, you know, 3 minutes. It's really, really tiny. Everything is just kind of like, it seems like they rushed it. Go to Kinos. Antonica is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. It is so detailed. There is little villages out there in Antonica, though. There's people. There's whole other quests to do. There's whole underground sections in Antonica that aren't zoned. They're just part of Antonica underground with whole little null tribes and shit. And there's so much more to that world. And then you go to their version of Wailing Caves, and it's like four times the size, right? Extremely well-detailed zone. Then you go to their version of, what do we have, Fallen Gate? You go to their version of Fallen Gate, and it's like, oh my god, I got lost in there. We went there to go help somebody out for something else just like 3-4 nights ago, and it was the first time all of us had been there, and we just stood there in awe of how not only awesome looking the place was and detailed, but how big it was. It was freaking huge.
Yeah, I thought Common Lands was big. Me coming from RuneScape, Common Lands is like at least 4 times bigger than the whole map.
Jesus.
So that was a lot to explore.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, so what, it takes me 10 minutes to get across there. It's still small. You get used to the size.
Yeah.
It does suck that it takes 10 minutes to run all the way across it, and you're going to have a train behind you.
Exactly. But thank God the Griffin Tower speeds it up a little bit if you can fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you get real bored of the commons because you're kind of stuck there until you're like level 20, it feels like, and there's not much you can do, and you know, you're like thankful to go into a shithole like Fallen Gate. But those dudes over in Kinos are like, oh man, Antonica's beautiful, there's so much to do, there's so much to see, but yeah, we'll go to Stormhold and spend a couple weeks in there because it's so big and there's so much to do. It's like they really took their time on Kinos and Antonica, and Freeport and the commons just got the shaft. But at least
are there more players on that side?
I think there are.
There's like 5 times as many players over there.
Well, is it just that they knew there'd be that many players, so they spent the time, or were there tons of people in Freeport to start out, and then they just defected, and they're like, screw this place?
You know, I really don't know, and I asked some of the guys in my guild that played EverQuest 1 how it was in EverQuest, and they said there was way more good people than evil people in EQ1.
So it makes sense that they made it look good because that's where all the people were. It just said, screw you guys in Freeport, you're not going to be there much longer.
Yeah, I guess. It sucks, though, because I wanted to make my mage provisioner chick over in Kinos, but you can't use your shared bank slots across the towns.
What?
Yeah, so your shared bank only works for your dudes in Freeport, and then if you have a dude in Kinos, your shared bank only works for your dudes in Kinos.
That really sucks. Yeah.
Well, it does, but it makes use of the black market.
I guess.
You know, do you guys ever go buy crap on the black market?
I don't even know where it is.
If you go into, what's the part of Freeport where you can take the boat? East Freeport. You take the boat, you know, you take the Mariner's Bell thing into East Freeport, and you're on the dock, and if you turn around, there's an island out in the water out there. Like, there's a little,
that's what that is.
Yeah, if you swim out there, there's a dude out there who sells you shit from the Kinos market.
Wow.
Yeah, there's also a neat little thing, I don't know if I told you guys in-game yet, but you can browse our market from anywhere.
What do you mean?
Like, you can be running around the commons and pull up the market.
What?
Yeah.
Can you buy from it?
No, but you can...
Oh, well, who cares?
Well, it's nice because if you're waiting for a particular item to come up, you can at least browse. And you can also pull up your bank the same way. And it's really, really handy, especially when you're crafting, because what happens to me is I get bored crafting. I'm sitting there watching a movie, and I'm crafting, but I want to check the market. And you have to jump off the thing and talk to the guy, and then browse the market, look for what you want real quick, and then go back to crafting. Well, this way, you can sit at your table, browse the market, check your bank, make sure all your shit is in order, do whatever. I've been in, you know, out in Thundering Steps and thought, oh, shit, I want to see if this thing's in the market. I can pull it up real quick. If it's there, I just log out, log my dude in Freeport in, buy it, and then I come get it later. It's really handy. What you gotta do is you type, and you gotta be real careful about the capital letters. It's /show_window, and then it's inventory with a capital I, period, market with a capital M. And it'll pull the fucking market up right in front of you.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And if you wanna pull up your bank, change market on the end to bank with a capital B.
I have an idea. Whenever it just pops up, it just pops up the normal window, right?
Yeah.
Did you have to press that key every time?
Well, I have it set to a macro.
Oh, I was going to say, all you'd really have to do is just open up that file. It's all XML, which is just harder HTML, really. And then just set the opacity to show up whenever you start.
Oh.
Press a key. And that's what I did. Well, like last night, when I hopped in the IRC and was like, ha, I can chat when I zone.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I opened up the, what is it, EQ2 underscore something. I can go look it up if you want to try it.
Is it the UI settings one or something?
Yeah, whatever the thing is, it says zoning and part of the file name at the very end.
Uh-huh.
You open it up, and anytime there's an opacity that's 0. Something, just set it to 1, and it doesn't work the whole time because part of when you're zoning, it drops the UI and reloads it.
Uh-huh.
So you can talk for a little bit, and it looks kind of weird because I don't know what all that stuff did, but I could talk, and some of the stuff was like half there and half not. But I set everything to 1, and I could chat for like half the time I was zoning.
That's cool.
It just like didn't load up part of the zoning screen and let me have control what was behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I saw that and I thought, wow, I gotta try that because that's cool. I hate zoning, especially when I'm mid-conversation.
Yeah.
You're like, God damn it, you know. But Ventrilo is nice for that, though. I can chat with the guys I'm using.
Yeah, have you messed with the EQ2interface.com stuff?
No, but I've heard a lot about it.
Okay, I've got to send you some XML files to try.
Mm-hmm.
This made the game so much easier than, you know how whenever you want to check someone's hits or your experience, you have to like highlight it?
Yeah.
Unless you want to stare at it forever and try and decipher what it really means.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it just puts numbers in for what's really going on. So like my experience, it has a Y percentage and a B percentage, and I just look at it and say, hey, okay, I got this much experience.
Really?
Yeah, that was like my favorite mod.
Wow.
Another good one was,
I have a request.
Yeah.
The one thing that really drives me insane with the interface, I really like the interface, but I have one problem. And that's when you start getting hit by that memory leak, and then you start lagging like hell, or there's a bunch of people around you. When you're trying to click your button, your macros, your for your skills, you pick them up instead of clicking. What I'm looking for is a way to lock the bar so that I cannot remove an icon from a bar.
I could look into it for you.
Yeah, I'll poke around that site and check it out.
I'm just guessing here. I could go check it real quick. I'm thinking that the icons aren't set on the hotbar, or you can't lock them in the hotbar file. I'll go look real quick.
Yeah, well, I can check it out in a little bit or something. It's just that's the one thing that really pisses me off, because when you're in a furious combat and you're just lagging, you click that button, you expect to do your move, you'll end up picking the button.
Wait. First off, I just realized something. Why the hell are you clicking the button?
Because I don't use the keyboard for that, because I have to keep my hand over on the first couple of keys. So I have to, it's weird. As an assassin, you have to constantly stop attacking. Or you suck, because you will swing and you will come out of stealth. So you have to click a move and then turn off attack real quick. So that you hit the guy, go into stealth, and then don't swing again. Because if you don't turn off your attack, you swing again, and you come right back out of stealth. But you need to hit the guy, go into stealth, stop attacking, so that it buys you, like, a quarter of a second to fire off a skill that allows you the one of the powerful skills, because they all require you to be in stealth. It's kind of weird.
If I played an assassin, I might understand that more.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, but it even took me a while. Sometimes you can get away with just hitting the skill that puts you into stealth, and then hit the skill that you're going to use, but it doesn't always work, because your guy will swing in between. And if you hit the creature, you're going to come out of stealth, and then you can't use your powerful move that requires you to be in stealth. So you have to hit stealth, then hit stop attack, then hit your stealth move. So you have to, I constantly have my left hand just pounding on my stop attack key, which is the one just left of the number 1, the tilde key there, right? That'll turn off auto attack. So I have to keep that hand there, and my other hand has to be on the mouse so I can manipulate other things. So I end up clicking my skills, and then I have to keep tapping that button with my left hand. I can't really move it very far.
Well, why don't you set your attacks to like 1, 2, and 3, and then like control 1, 2, and 3?
Well, I have 3 bars of skills.
Yeah, I have 3.
Yeah, and they're full. So I have all the way from 1 down to the damn plus key of shit to do. You know?
Yeah, do you use all those? Because I use, like, 4.
I didn't.
Out of all of them.
Yeah, it depends on the situation, but for the most part, I use about 9 of them, like constantly. Maybe, there's probably like 9 or 10 I use the most, but I have to have them available depending on the situation.
Yeah, most of the time I'm just fighting an orc, so as soon as a skeleton starts, I use that master skill that does like 150 damage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just alternate between the two most powerful spells I have until it's dead, so.
Yeah, see, mine are way different than that, because everything I have is on a really long timer, too. Like, my best hit is on a 5-minute timer.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it sucks when I have one icon taking up a space on my bar for 5 freaking minutes, I can't use it. You know, so if I can't use that, I have to switch to a different skill, and then I use that skill, and it's on like a 3.5-minute timer. So then I go back into stealth, and I hit another skill, and it's on like, you know, a 1.5-minute timer. So that's why I have so many buttons, because they're all on huge timers. But they do a shitload of damage, though. That's the only cool thing about it. You know what? We have been going for about 1.5 hours, so we should cut it anyway.
Alright.
Because if we're going to fill a spot with this one day, possibly, you know, and I'd like to keep it about the same length, you know, just in general. But this was good. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad we got to do this. It's like an excuse to talk about EverQuest and not get a bunch of shit for it. So, because you know how we get beat up over talking about MMORPGs a lot on the show, so.
Yeah.
Because not everybody likes to hear about it. But this was our chance to just kind of let it go a little bit, so. All right. Anything anybody wants to say while we're closing down here?
Not really. Yeah, me either.
No? Play an MMORPG and have a good time.